Hi, Paul. Sean Reynolds with Sportsnet here. How are you doing?
Thank you.
I'm interested, what are some of the things that you can't find out about a coach through a pre-scout that you're going to have to learn on the fly in your coaching match in this upcoming series?
You know what? I would say that you can almost find out everything that you need to know. But you're going to have to watch a lot of hockey, a lot of pre-scouts to get the kind of nuances. So the standard stuff that you don't even have to watch the game now with all these analytics, you can tell how he runs his bench, who he leans on. You watch the pre-scouts, you know, tendencies. But you got to face a guy a lot to get a, you know, playoff series of the way where you really start to learn a guy and what his tendencies are. The hockey and the systems, I mean, it's on display every night, right? You get to see style of game that they play with the personnel they have. And if you end up against a guy that's coached multiple teams, there'll be things that carry over and things that don't because he has a different set of personnel. So you can get a good bead on what they want to do. And the value of that is, I don't know, 5% of the game. Like at the end of the day, we all go out there with a plan and the players make you right or wrong by their execution.
Yeah, I'm on that last point of yours. I'm interested in your belief on the impact coaches make in a series. I've heard a lot of coaches downplay the chess match that can come in a series like that. What's your take?
Well, if you hold everything else constant, which you can't, then coaches would have an impact. There's a piece to that. The decisions that you make on those matchups, you know, how well you've implemented your system and all those things. But I think the guys that I thought were the hardest to coach against made adjustments in personnel very quickly. So if they found a guy that wasn't going online and you thought you had an advantage, they'd change that. They wouldn't wait too long with the matchup, but there's a threshold there as well. You know, there have been times where you see guys pull goalies or there's guys that get to major shifts in their game, you think kind of early and maybe their team feels they've panicked. Now the players are the drivers, right? All of it, because you go out with a plan of your number one line playing against somebody. And if your number one line is better that night, doesn't matter who they play against. So we've seen fourth line score against first lines. I mean, on any individual event, it's all the players. When you sum up all the events that happen over the course of a series, I think the decisions that you make on your own personnel and how you run them are important.
Thanks, Paul.
Good morning, Paul. Ken Weeb, Sportsnet.ca. Just following up or piggybacking on Sean's line of questioning, just given the unusual circumstances, will coaches have to be more adaptable when it comes to making those adjustments on the fly?
Yeah, I think so. I think what happens is we all have a plan for this training camp and we have a belief that we can get our team back to as close to the game that they were playing at the end because we were all kind of just amping up for playoffs and that playoff push. So we think we can get our teams there. And then the puck's going to drop and you're going to have to decide pretty quickly on even on guys that you know are real strong players in certain situations. If it's not going for them, you're going to have to make that adjustment quickly. And then I would say that's even more true in a 5-game series than a 7-game series.
And just one more shifting gears. We've talked about Kyle Connor a lot during the course of the year, but how has he quietly become an elite goal scorer at the NHL level? I mean, and how would you describe his development overall?
Yeah, I would say maybe quietly become an elite player, right? Because there's more than just putting the puck in the net. What he did was he took his skill set and then adapted it to the NHL game. First of all, he's an incredible shape. Like his test numbers, he would come in. So he would work very hard in the summer, and he's, I'm sure, genetically gifted to do that. But he works really hard, and he's a great skater. So now he's learned, I think maybe the hardest thing for a young player to learn is how hard you have to work, but then how hard you actually can work. right? Like you watch the scrimmage portion today, you watch the drills that were running. When he came into the league, he wouldn't be able to stay in the drill like he is. And now he's just a full sprint all over the ice. He knows his reads and sprint. And the other tell, like for what I think of him as a player, is I use him to kill penalties, right? Like a skilled guy, and we talk about him being this elite goal scorer, and I agree he is. But he's become an elite player. Because if you're sharp enough and smart enough to kill penalties and you have a willingness, his defensive stick is very, very strong. He's developed into a guy I don't coach anymore, right? I mean, there's not much. You watch his video. There's nothing consistent that you have to show him that he needs to improve. He's just the experience that he gets every year goes into his memory bank, and his decisions get faster and his confidence grows. And this guy is going to be, I think he's going to be thought of. He's got a long-term deal, so I don't mind saying it. I mean, I think he's going to be a top 10 player in the National Hockey League.
Thanks very much.
Paul, Scott Billick here from Winnipeg Sun. Hope you're doing well. The question, you talked a little bit about kind of getting back to that last month of the season and how it went. Talked to Matthew. He said that it's difficult because, you haven't played in so long and that sort of thing. But where do you see your team at right now? Obviously, knowing you don't have the benefit of really seeing them in an actual game setting at this point.
Yeah.
But where do you see your team at? Are they at that spot or where you thought they might be after – week and a half into training camp?
Yeah, so we have to start with what my foundational thought was, coming into camp. And I left a lot of room on those first couple of days. I wouldn't say push them real hard, but we let them warm up almost to come into it. And then I would take it to today, and I thought today's practice, you might have a hard time distinguishing between today's practice and a full practice that we would run during the regular season. We go a lot lighter during the regular season than we would have today. But throughout the lineup, when we're over on the other ice with just 22 guys, that pace was very much like a normal training camp pace, but with a little bit more. Well, there's going to be guys that tell you their hands aren't there. That's fine. But the pace was right in our practice today. Not far off. It wouldn't be a whole discernible that this was a practice in July.
Fair enough. And follow up for me. Do you have to impart anything on your players? So they haven't played in, up to be around 5 months by that point. You have a training camp, and usually training camps go into an 82-game season, and there is room for error at that point. I mean, everybody wants to win, but right now you have to win. Like, there is no real choice. I mean, you have to win 3 of the next 5 games that you play to move on. And that would be normal heading into a playoff season, having come up through the regular season. But not always normal going through a training camp and then having to really, I guess, shift it into 6th or 5th gear, whatever you want to call it. Do you have to impart anything on your team when it comes to that? Or do they already know that, I suppose?
So you're looking for a sense of it in how you practice, right? Like, I would say if there's a different feel between this training camp and a normal training camp, it's exactly that. There is an awareness that we're not stepping into regular season hockey where you can build into it. Right. There's lots of enthusiasm, but they also, especially veteran guys, it's 82 games coming up. They want to get off to a good start, but there's not the same weight to this. And you can feel it out there. There are guys pushing hard to get to be really good at the start, not just because they want to have a great year, because they know we have to be there to give ourselves a chance to win. Other than, we're all aware that this is a sprint more than possibly any other series we've been into. It's, the first 10 minutes matter, because that game carries a, bigger percentage weight on what you need to do to win a series. So they're aware of it.
Hey, Paul, it's Jason Bell from the Winnipeg Free Press. Good to see you again. Nick Ehlers doesn't dwell on the 21 playoff goalless drought, nor should he. I'm sure you don't either. But when you think about that and the player he was or is and now has become, is he in a better position now to maybe, you know, contribute offensively, or do you even worry about that? You think more about him as the overall guy as compared to what he was in, you know, in the long series, long run 2 years ago, and even the short series against St. Louis?
Well, Nick Ehlers at times this year played a style of hockey that he will score in the playoffs with. And that was addressed with him. You know, that's the grindy. We're doing our video today on some forechecking stuff. And there's two or three clips in that of Nicky finishing checks and being hard on plays. So that's all part of the growth of a player, right? When Nick Ehlers comes into the league, that's a long way from his thinking that that's part of his job. And you get into the playoffs, and I mentioned it, you know, in the past, when you got young players, they don't fully get what the playoffs are like, or the cost of players playoffs, or what you have to do to be successful. So they grow and they learn. And Nick would be a prime example of a guy that now has an understanding that you're not just skating around in playoffs and making pretty plays and those go in. You got to go get the puck. You got to take it off you. And when you get it, somebody's coming to get it hard from you. And he hit the hockey that he played this year. He plays that game. He's going to score in the playoffs. The interesting thing, you take a look at his stats this year, and you just, you know, you factor in the fact that he's not on a number one power play unit. Because of that, with our group, he's not getting much power play time. His numbers are pretty darn good. So all I got to do is I got to get Nicky to think like a shooter, skate like a shooter, and play that style of game. And then he's capable now of scoring in the playoffs.
Appreciate that. One more quick one. You know, Nick Shore doesn't do things that are, you know, jump off score sheets and, you know, that make people jump out of their seats. But, you know, obviously really appreciative in your room of the things he does. I mean, what do you like about him and how he works with Mason Appleton and Perreault, and what they can offer you, whether it's 4 minutes or 9 minutes against Calgary?
Yeah. So I would describe him as a player's pro. And so he's not Mark Scheifele, and everybody understands that. But guys want to play with him because he plays smart like Mark does. And that's why both those wingers are excited that he's the centerman. He can make plays, but he's learned to play in the NHL. There's a certain safety that he has to provide in the game. So he's not adding undue risk to the game, but he's still trying to make plays. I can't explain. You'll have fourth line centers that have a certain role, and they're banging every puck out and they're banging it in because they know if they don't, they're not playing again. And it's also their skill set. The best chance they have a play is to not handle the puck very much. Shore is a player that is smart enough that he could play on a power play. He's got really good hands. You know, his speed is probably the area of his game that keeps him from moving up the lineup too much, but his hands, his head, his heart. And the other part is he's a funny guy. Like, he's a smart guy. So Matty Perreault loves the game. He likes coming to the rink, having a good time. He works his butt off, as does Mason Appleton now. So they got a good chemistry. Like, they like being on the boards, you know, when it's not there and turned up and they're fooling around and they're laughing. They get out there, they do it right. Sure as he can make a play, so it doesn't feel like, you know, think of it from Matty Perreault's perspective. This is a guy who scored goals in the National Hockey League. Now he's on the fourth line. Yeah, okay, the coach wants him to go and work his ass off and get up and down the walls and finish all his checks and do all that. It'd be nice to make a play every once in a while. I'll feel the puck. And sure as he makes that happen with that line. So they've got a good chemistry. I like them a lot as a line.
Hi, Paul. Sarah from TSN. Just circling back to your answer about Nikolai, is that a conversation about that style of play that you had with him going into the season?
Oh.
Or throughout?
No, whenever we identified in Nicky's game some growth or some area that we felt would be the kind of hockey that he would need to be in the playoffs, we talked about it just so that he would recognize it. Sometimes guys don't recognize that there's a difference in the style of play. And I the tell for me is if Nicky's slowing down to make plays, he's not at his A game. And when he's speeding up, all those plays are there and then some, and he pulls people off the other people. And when he thinks like a shooter, you got to skate fast usually to get the shot off. So if we saw it in his games, Sarah, we made sure he heard about it, knew about it, and saw it on video.
When you mentioned just that style of play, is that something that you did see maybe more consistently from him or more often, maybe not consistently, but more often this season than what you had in the past?
Oh, for sure. It was in his game this year at times, and he played with a bunch of different people, but he drove a lot harder. He was dynamic, but he was more multifaceted in his game, right? He'd come into the league, he'd be almost a perimeter speed player and one and done-ish. Now you're starting to see him keep pucks alive, get in on the forecheck, you know, understand the defensive parts of the game too, a little heavier on the walls, a little more confidence to control the puck on the wall. So that's the natural progression, I think, of all players, right? They get to that, they realize they have to do so much more, even if they are very skilled. So we saw that in his game this year.